Felix's only song without words with cello. He didn't write it for me. He composed it for a first infatuation, that wonderful, beautiful cellist, Lisa Cristiani. Funny, he didn't seem to mind her professional life. How many times did Felix, and later when I felt myself old enough, tell Fanny, no self-respecting woman indulges in public creativity? Well, how did she go on creating? Our family married her off. Lots of family calculations here. I think the formula went something like this. Marriage was her destiny, whereas music could or must never be. She must not marry for money. She would need to marry a Lutheran who was sufficiently broad-minded to marry a convert. This was by no means generally the case. Somehow, perhaps, there is a God in heaven. Fanny married a good man, a tolerant, poor Lutheran, of course, a wonderful artist, Wilhelm Hensel. The artist part was the one joker in our scenario for Fanny. Fanny told me that the day after the marriage, he sat her down at the piano and put manuscript paper in front of her. Beautiful. I know that she was often down, probably just worn out with family, several miscarriages, but she still produced. She told me she lost count, but that she had written some 500 works. And of course she then added small works, Lieder, solo piano, a bit of chamber music, anything that could be rehearsed and performed at home. You must understand, though she was limited to private performance, these programs were of the highest order, planned, prepared, and executed with absolute polish. Artists and audience vied to be invited. Hensel often designed the written programs, all beautifully done. Her low point came when she wrote Felix that she had been asked to publish some of her new piano pieces after one of the musicales. Even Mother Leah got into the act, writing Felix, without Fanny's knowledge, for his benediction. His reply was swift and, shall I say, draconian, Mendelssohnian. All four of us loved manipulating words, a family trait. He wrote, "Mother, you write to me of Fanny's latest pieces, telling me I should persuade her to publish them. And yet you really don't need to praise her new compositions for me to be extremely happy about them, or for me to find them beautiful and remarkable, because I know very well who wrote them. But as for persuading her to publish them, that's something I cannot do, for it's against my ideas and convictions. Publication is a serious matter, or at least it ought to be, and I think it should be done only if one intends to present oneself as a composer throughout one's life, and to remain one. And if I know Fanny, she has neither the wish nor the vocation to become a composer. She is far too self-respecting a woman for that. She sees to her house, and thinks not of the public, nor of the musical world, nor even of music, except when her primary activities are done." She waited for 9 years after this disappointment to finally become a public composer. I'm sure that the final impetus to go public was her wandering, her year of travel in Italy. It renewed her. If there was anyone who loved travel more than Felix, it was Fanny. After the year's travel, she finally published, in July of 46. She dedicated Opus 1 to Cecile. Cecile served as a mediator, a buffer of sorts between F and F, I think. Fanny was excited, saying that it was all rather ridiculous. Opus 1? At age 40? In her letter to Felix, she took full responsibility for her actions and said that if people liked her work, it would be a great stimulus to her, as she always needed this to create. If she failed, the status quo of 40 years would prevail, and he would be free from complicity. Felix took over a month to answer. He wrote, "My dearest Fenchel, the hard-hearted brother finally gets around to answering your letter and give you professional blessing upon your decision to enter our guild. May you know only the pleasures of being a composer and none of the miseries. May the public only send you roses and never sand. May the printer's ink never seem black or oppressive to you. Your fellow tailor." A belated handing of the torch to Fanny. No, they're grasping it together, gaining strength from one another as they did growing up, as we did growing up, lighting the world with their glorious gifts. This was Felix's darkest period, exhausted from finishing Elijah, worn out from constant work and travel, the whole Bach revival, emotionally drained by the responsibilities he felt so keenly. Fanny, renewed, a public figure, traveling, even giving her first public performance of Felix's G minor piano concerto. No compensation, of course, a benefit concert, but in a real concert hall. Fanny's star ascending, Felix exhausted, worn out. And then the sudden death. She was rehearsing for one of the Sunday home musicales. She complained of faintness, went to rest for a short bit, came back at the piano and collapsed, never regaining consciousness. 1847. I was the one who handed the note to Felix of Fanny's death. Felix was quite unable to make it to the funeral. In an interval of 2 years, mother, father, grandfather, and now sister, he collapsed. Robert Schumann said he looked grau auf grau, gray on gray. Hensel showed me Felix's letter several weeks after the funeral. I remember it almost by heart. He said, "What we have lost, and I above all, that we are not yet able to measure. With her kindness and love, she was part of me every moment of my life. There was no joy I experienced without thinking of the joy she would feel for me. The wealth of this sisterly love spoiled me and made me proud. I have not been able to think of music. When I try to do so, everything in me seems desolate and empty. You made my sister very happy, as she deserved to be. I thank you for that today, and will, as long as I breathe, and probably longer, not with mere words, but with bitter repentance, that I did not do more for her happiness, that I did not see her more, was not more with her." 6 months later, almost to the day, thousands followed the horse-drawn hearse, Moscheles, Gade, Schumann, pallbearers. "He sleeps near our beloved sister, whose death so fatally affected him." I helped raise Felix's sons, Cecile the daughters. A few years later, Rebecca's daughter lived with us for a while as well. A month before his death, he gave his publisher, Breitkopf und Hartl, 4 works of Fanny for publication, a couple of groups of songs, a piano trio, and of course some songs without words. Felix rarely spoke about music, but he was adamant about the meaning of music. He said people complain that music is so ambiguous, so that they are doubtful as to what they should think when they hear it, whereas they say everyone understands words. For me, it is just the reverse. not only for whole speeches, but even single words seem open to misunderstanding in comparison with real music, which fills one's soul with a thousand better things than words. To me, the music I love does not express thoughts too indefinite to put into words, but too definite. I am reminded of something Rebecca said when we used to argue about music. She said, "If you really feel for what is beautiful, if it truly gladdens you, then your mind becomes enlarged rather than narrowed. I always get upset when some praise only Beethoven, others only Palestrina, and still others only Mozart or Bach. All four of them, I say, or none at all." All four of us, Fanny, Felix, Rebecca, even me, or none at all.